This podcast is sponsored by Anchor. If you're looking for a great platform to have your own podcast, to listen to what you want, or to invite guests, here are the details on how to do it.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're here. Hey guys, welcome back to Monica the Spirit Queen. I have with me attorney Anna Albertson, who's also running for Clark County District Court Judge, Department 17. Hi Anna, how are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me. So I have a couple of questions from the public, but before we get into that, I want you to introduce yourself and let the public know a little bit about you and whatever you want the public to know, and what is the difference, you know, district, court, all the details.
Sure. Okay. I am Anna Albertson. I am running for Clark County District Court Judge, Department 17. It is a civil criminal court. I am a wife, mother, attorney, and business owner. I am running because it is really important to me that we get fair and impartial judges in office so that people appearing before them know that they're going to have fair and impartial judges. That's vital for our society. So that we all can trust the judges that we're appearing in front of. I'm happy to answer any questions you have today, and I can continue if you want. What's your preference?
I am open to anything. Anything you want the public to know, anything you want them to hear. I do have a couple of questions. I asked the public what they wanted to know for an upcoming judge who is in a campaign running to be a judge. And I have a couple of questions from them. And if you don't feel comfortable answering a certain question, just, you know, let me know and I'll go ahead and skip it. The number one question was, what district are you running for? Which is just the Clark County District Court, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So it's criminal and civil, and maybe some people might get a little confused on that. Do you want to go into a little bit details with that?
Sure. Okay. I'm going to start first by explaining what Department 17 means, because that's a question that a lot of people ask me. There are 32 departments in Clark County District Court, and I'm running for Department 17. The department numbers really don't mean what most people think they mean. They don't have any kind of connection to certain areas of Las Vegas or certain areas of Clark County. They're simply... It's because they have that much going on in the courthouse that they need to separate stuff into 32 different courtrooms. So that's the first thing I usually explain to people, that Department 17 is simply the number of the department. It doesn't mean only a certain area of Clark County is going to be able to vote for me. All of Clark County gets to come in and vote. The next thing I talk about too is that this is a civil criminal court. Now, what that means is I could have civil cases, I could have criminal cases, I could have a mix of both, I could have just one or just the other. Some of these departments have just one or the other. Many of the departments have a mixed load of civil and criminal. Usually what happens is the chief judge decides, based on who is the judge in that department, what kind of caseload they're going to have. It's very likely, if I get elected, that my caseload is going to be predominantly civil, because that's predominantly my background and my experience.
Awesome. Okay. So let me see. You guys have to bear with me. I'm going through the questions. Okay. So here's another one. If and when you are elected as a judge, what are your important priorities?
Okay. Number one, to be fair and impartial. Number two, to do what I can to help the community. And number three, to do a lot of outreach with schools and youth in our community. I think those three things are vitally important of any judge. It's really important, especially when we get minority and female judges in office, that they reach out to the community, that they spend time in schools talking to young people so that people can see, look, judges don't all look the same. They're not all a certain race or a certain gender or even a certain age. It is really important that young people can see that, hey, if she can be a judge, I can probably be a judge one day. It's also really important. I know I started with talking about fairness and impartiality in a courtroom. It's really important that a judge is fair and impartial in their courtroom. And that is a huge reason why I'm running.
Absolutely. Fairness is number one. Especially when you walk into a courtroom, it is nerve-wracking and scary for a lot of people, and you don't know what the outcome is. But you could be a little bit more relaxed knowing that when you vote a certain person to sit in a judge's seat, then you're going to feel a little bit more comfortable knowing that that person is fair. And, you know, which goes to the next question, gender. Your sexual preference, religious, none of those matter. You know what I'm saying? And I know speaking to you, with you a couple of times, I know none of those matter to you, right? So you don't separate any categories of what the people's preference is. It depends on what the case is. So you concentrate on a case.
Yeah, you don't get treated any differently. You don't get preferential treatment. You don't get any kind of negative treatment because of your gender, race, or religion. That's not okay. Everybody needs to be treated fairly, and a judge needs to make sure that he or she is doing what they can to watch out for any personal biases and prejudices, to make sure that certain religions, certain races are not treated differently in his or her courtroom.
Perfect. So speaking of minorities, somebody asked, let me see the question. Okay. So minorities are really important. I want to say really important because, you know, you don't categorize anyone, but how important are minorities to you, and how important are everyone else to you? I'm trying to put the questions together as best as I
Yeah.
can because the way I got these questions are all mumbo jumbo, so I'm putting them all together. So speaking of minorities, what are your thoughts about that and your feelings?
Okay. Somebody being a minority, it does not mean that they get treated any differently in a courtroom setting, or at least it shouldn't mean. Somebody's skin color, somebody's ethnicity, somebody's background, that doesn't change the law that should be applied and how it should be applied in a situation. I am a first generation American myself. My father is an immigrant. So I think you have to be aware of people's background because I think it does sometimes relate to why they're in. But you also have to be conscious of the fact that somebody should not be treated differently and definitely should not be put at a disadvantage because of any kind of minority status. That's not okay.
Awesome. Some of these questions are going to get a little bit harder and harder. We discussed it before that, you know, some of these questions can, I mean, they're kind of brutal to me, but being who you are and what you know, who you're running for to be to sit in a judge's seat. We all get criticized for everything we do in our life. I mean, I get criticized with my job sometimes. But and you have to have a very thick skin in order to do what you're doing. And another question, this is going to a criminal case. How do you feel about hardcore criminals getting released from prison during the pandemic? Do you think that's okay?
Okay, I don't think that's exactly what's happening. I think, at least as far as I understand the situation, what's happening is that the people are being released from custody that are either coming up towards the end of their terms or prison sentences, or in there for nonviolent crimes. Now, I don't know all the details about all of the releases, so I don't feel completely comfortable commenting on this, but that is my understanding of what's happening. I have not heard of hardcore criminals being released. I don't think that that would be authorized by really any judges, and definitely not by any politicians, because that would put other people in our society in danger. I think what's happening is, in order to avoid the situation where COVID-19 is spreading like wildfire in certain prisons and jails, people might be getting out a little earlier than planned, or even being put on house arrest. But I don't think it's hardcore criminals that's happening for. I think it's people that have committed lesser crimes. But like I said, I haven't looked into that situation, and I don't have enough details to really comment on it, but I haven't heard anything about hardcore criminals being released.
Okay. I think the reason why they're asking that is because social media right now, I mean, with all these posts and all these news articles about so-and-so had a second or even third offense, going back to prison, doing the same thing over and over again, has been let out, but then a week or two later has been put back in jail because they committed the same crime. And another one I read was about face masks. They said, well, a lot of prisons don't provide face masks, but I have seen videos of prisoners that have face masks. You know what I mean? So I just, it's really hard to like know the truth when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, is it real that they don't have face masks and that's the reason why they're letting out, you know, prisoners, or what the deal is? I mean, I guess they just wanted to know, you know, how you felt about the pandemic and prisoners getting released. Okay, someone else said, what are you going to do as a judge to help people?
That's a good question. Well, I'm going to go back to what I talked about earlier. The first way that I think judges help people the most is with a fair and impartial courtroom. Number one, first priority. Number two, you've got to consider the community with your rulings. And number three, I think judges have to participate in educational activities. I already do educational work. Through my own practice, I work doing what we call in legal field CLEs, continuing legal education, where I'll do lectures for other lawyers fairly regularly, but at least one or two a year on a variety of topics. You have to get out there and talk to people and be willing to lecture, and you have to really be willing to listen to other people as well. So I think that's really predominantly where I think I'm going to help the most. But I also, there are room for some changes in the courthouse, and I'd like to be a part of making some positive changes that I think make things more efficient for people, that I think focus a little more on resolution of cases through more quickly, maybe, and get people to that resolution faster. No one wants to be in a courtroom. You're usually in a courtroom as a party because something horrible is happening in your life. So the judge in there, from the attorneys to the staff to the judge, is to help get people to resolution, not to continue the problem, not to make it worse. And I am more than ready to help get people to resolution, and about getting people to resolution as well.
And that is very important. And I think that a lot of parents listening to this right now would agree with you and want to vote somebody in that has compassion when it comes to kids and schools, especially when there's a lot of bullying around, especially when there's, I mean, just a couple of years ago, my old high school I used to go to, I found out that a child that has been bullied so much and went through the school system but got zero help ended up jumping off the roof of the building, of the school building, and committing suicide. So it is important to have somebody like you that's compassionate, that understands kids, especially you being a mother yourself, that you're going to be there for the kids. You know, you're going to be getting justice for the kids, basically. You know what I'm saying? So that's really important. Let's see what other questions we got. Okay, I'm not going to ask that one. Okay, so here's one going back to a criminal case. Somebody said, how do you feel about the death penalty? And how would you think you would handle a case like that? Now, that part, I understand you can't answer, most likely. But what are your thoughts and feelings about the death penalty?
Okay. Judicial canons prevent me from giving any kind of opinion about cases that might come before me. But what I can say is that I'm ready to follow the law and what's consistent with Nevada law.
Perfect. Okay. Let's see what else is there. Here's a funny one. How do you feel about the media?
That's a...
I'm sorry, I had to ask because it kept jumping.
No, no, that's a question. Look, I think that we have a free press for a reason, and information gets out there, and I think it's the duty of people reading it and looking at it to assess, number one, where that information is coming from and what might be the biases and prejudice from that source, and number two, how seriously they want to take it, and what kind of resources and time went into gathering whatever information that they're looking at. You know, you've always got to look at your sources for things, and you've got to ask yourself what are their goals and motivations with getting this out, and as a result, how do I want to receive that information? But that's really true of any information. You know, I also think, I mean, media also can be very entertaining. So we do keep ourselves busy with it. There's pros and cons. And like I said, I think we have a free press for a reason. And so that stuff gets out and certain things should be exposed. But like I said, you just have to assess where the information is coming from and what might be the goals of whoever's putting that information out.
That's a really good answer. Would you put a difference between, okay, before I ask this, there's a obviously political war that's always going on. And now more so than ever because of this pandemic we're going through, Democrats versus Republicans, Republicans versus Democrats. Does that matter to you? Someone said, would you put a difference between a Democrat and a Republican? When it comes to handling cases?
Somebody appearing before me would not get treated differently because of their political party. I likely will not know even what their political party is when they appear before me.
Okay. What is the most difficult case? And I know you have had so many in your career as an attorney, and how did you handle it? Like, what is the most that you could think of? Or you can even mention more than one, but what is the most difficult case you had, and how did you handle it?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've had hundreds of cases so far in my career. I don't think there's one that I would look at and say this was the most difficult case, but there are little nuancy things about many that were difficult or detailed or intricate. Sometimes it was the parties and their relationship with each other. Sometimes it was the facts and the law that had to come into play. And other times it was even something like dealing with the judge or arbitrator was in front of, or dealing with my opposing counsel. So I can't look at one case and say that's been my most difficult case. But what I can say is I've tried to learn from that comes in front of me something. And I do think that I've taken something from every single case that comes in front of me. And I like to think that the case was better because I touched it, or at least I try to make it better because I touched it. Like I said earlier, getting people to resolution has been one of my major goals in practice. Getting people to the problem is resolved and they can move on with their life. That's a big goal, I think. And that should be a goal of attorney, of every judge, of every arbitrator.
Right. I like that answer a lot, because me being a paralegal for so many years, I was working literally next to my attorney, and we learn from every case that we take on. I was probably pretty much the PI, you name it. I was handling a lot of the cases, and he was a criminal defense attorney too. And what you could do is you just learn from every court case. I mean, every case you get, the next case gets better and better and better and better. But if somebody would have asked me what's your favorite case or the most difficult case that you handled, I wouldn't be able to answer it either, to be honest. Okay. Here's another one. Why do you want to be a judge?
I never thought that I would run for judge when I first started practicing. It wasn't even on my radar. But after trying multiple cases, I think it is absolutely paramount that we get fair and impartial judges. And I don't think I can continue to be critical of judges if I'm not willing to put myself out there and be a judge as well. I already work as a short trial judge. That's an appointed position through the courts. I also already work as an arbitrator. And I do think in those positions, a partial person that is trying to continue to be fair and impartial, that is trying to get people to resolution, that is trying to make good rulings, really makes a difference and improves the community. So I want to do my part to help. Also a very big motivator for me right now, as you've said earlier, I am a mom. I have, by the time she is old enough to start asking me questions about why the world is so unfair to some people, I want to be able to tell her I'm doing what I can to make the biggest difference in that arena as possible.
Which goes hand in hand with the next question. I had about 12 people asking me the same question over and over again. Why should we vote for you?
Sure. You should vote for me because I'm going to make a fair and impartial judge. My background and experience make me the best candidate for the position. And you will know that when you appear in, you're going to get a fair shake. And that's incredibly important, I think. You will also know that you're going to have somebody sitting up there that genuinely cares about the community, cares about what's best for our community, and is very invested. Because I have a young child, I really, really care about what this community is going to look like in 10 years, what it's going to look like in 20 years, what it's going to look like in 30 years. And I think that's vitally important. We get judges that think about the future, care about the future, and are considering that in all of their decisions.
Right. And I agree. let me go through these real quick. Okay, I got the same question. Okay, here's another one. Sorry, I have to make sure that it's appropriate because I do have some questions that I don't want to ask, which I don't think has anything to do with your campaign at the moment. Okay, here's another one. Does your reputation come first before your career?
So this question is asking me to prioritize reputation versus career.
No. I don't know. It's just all together. So I'm guessing, is your reputation more important than your career? Like to do the right thing? Like what do you think about that? This is what I'm guessing.
Consider my reputation when I make choices or decisions. What I do consider is what's right and wrong. And what's consistent, when you're a judge, you have to consider what's consistent with the law. So I'm not sure how to answer that question exactly. I'm not this person that was always seeking to be a judge. I'm running for judge right now because I don't think that we always get fair and impartial judges in this community. I think that's incredibly important, and that's right. why I'm running for judge. So I don't have a hierarchy of career reputation. I really don't consider. I think if you're if you make decisions, keeping in mind what is right and what is wrong, keeping in mind the law, being fair and impartial, I think your reputation establishes itself. You don't have to worry about it. And same with your career. In my career, I've been a very successful attorney. It has not been hard because I'm willing to work really hard. So career success has come without me thinking, oh, I really need career success. It's come because I'm working hard and I do what I can for every client that I take on. So as a result, I've had a successful career. I enjoy success in my career, but it's not my paramount goal. When I look at things, I don't think, well, what's this going to do for my career? Or what's this going to do for my reputation? I think, do I want to take on this case? And if I do, what can I do to help get it where it needs to get so that my client can have resolution? Can I help this person?
Right. Okay, that makes sense. My next question. Okay, somebody said or asked, if you're pushed into a corner, would you choose politics or your career to do the right thing? And I'm guessing the reason why they ask is because there's so many political agendas out there, especially, I know, you know, not all, but some politicians are corrupted and they're using this coronavirus as an excuse to push their agenda. And so I think that, you know, to be fair with the public, I think they want to know what comes first and what will you choose? Are politics more important than your career to do the right thing? Or like, how do you feel about that?
Sure.
What do
you think? Okay. I'm not a political game player. I believe that we should do what's right and keep our values in mind. And no matter who's asking me a question, my answer will be the same. I will tell you what I really think and what I really believe. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you what I'm going to do and then I will do it. I don't have some hidden agenda. I'm not a stab you in the back person. I always say to people, you're going to know what I'm going to do and it's going to come right at you from the front. Okay, I say that to my opposing counsel a lot. Like, you're going to see me coming. I'm not a secretive person about stuff. And like I said, I don't play the political game like some people do. That's not why I'm doing this. I don't have some big political agenda. I'm doing this because like I've said repeatedly, we need fair and impartial judges. And I've tried where I can be a fair and impartial judge and I understand the law and I'm ready to apply it.
Well, with my personal view on everything and how I feel about you taking the judge's seat, I feel like, you know, it's right only because of the fact that we need more judges out there that they're not into all this political stuff. They're not into race and gender and religion and all this, you know. People need to get treated equally no matter what the case is. Which goes to the next question. I told you these questions are going to get tougher and tougher, but if the tables were turned and you are being charged with illegal activities, how would you want the judge to handle your case? Should you get off easy or should you pay the hardcore punishment like everyone else?
Well, what I would just want is a fair and impartial judge. If I'm ever in front of a judge, I want a fair and impartial judge. I don't know what I would do if this person is asking if I committed a crime, but I don't know why I would be there. But if I ended up there, I'd want a fair and impartial judge.
Right. I think it's more like a hypothetical question. You know what I'm saying? Just the fact that people want to get to know you and want to know a little bit more about your thoughts and feelings about being a judge in the justice system. Just, you know, so that is really helpful for them to know who they're going to vote for. And I already gave my personal opinion. So let's see another one. Okay. Do you think judges need to uphold a different standard than regular citizens?
A different standard than regular citizens. I think a judge is entrusted with an awesome responsibility. So I would hope hold themselves to a high standard. However, I think that judges have like a special set of canons that we have to adhere to. And I do think we have a duty to uphold that. I think we're taking on a really incredible responsibility. And with that comes some pretty great privileges too. And people hold you in high esteem. And as a result, you need to understand the massive responsibility you have on your shoulders too. You should conduct yourself appropriately. And you should be aware. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, a repeated criminal is not going to get treated the same as somebody that doesn't have a record. You know what I'm saying? That works regularly, pays taxes. And it's not about treating people differently. I think it's about the individual itself and how they treat others too reflects off of how others are going to treat them. You know what I'm saying? So let's see what the other one is. Okay. When you sit in a judge's chair, are you a wife, a mother, a friend, or a judge with a subconscious that will do everything in your power to do the right thing no matter what? No matter whatever the situation or the case is. So I think I know the answer to that one. Because when you're sitting in the judge's chair, you're a judge and you're there to do your job. But you know, you can't let emotional, personal feelings get in the way with your job. And I think that's maybe what the question is about. You know what I'm saying? So I just answered it for you, basically. But if you want to add to that, go ahead. I just personally don't think you're going to put a difference and bring your personal life and your personal feelings into your courtroom.
Yes. And you know I think that's saying? Really important that you keep your personal feelings out of it as much as you can. But I also think it is important that a judge has empathy. And so we do need to have empathy as judges. And you need to also assess the situation in front of you and see if there's some alternate remedies that might be for resolution that haven't necessarily been looked at. We have a lot of alternative courts and other options that for certain cases and for certain situations, they're appropriate avenues to take.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Here's another one. Are you for the people? I mean, I think you've already answered that, but it was the next question.
I like
question.
To think I am.
Are you
I've
for
got
the people?
A interesting background that I think makes me a little different than your typical judge or even attorney. I have put myself through school. Prior to law school, I worked as a teacher and a tutor. I also worked in retail. I even worked at the front desk of a hotel and I waited table. And when I did those, I did them as sometimes my primary income. So I understand what it's like to live on certain incomes and to do different kind of jobs other than attorney or judge. And I think that's really important that we have a judge that understands what some other people's lives might like, you know, and how hard it is sometimes to even appear in court when you're working at an hourly job and you're missing a day's pay to be there. That's pretty extreme for a lot of people.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, here's another one. How do you feel about our justice system? That's the only thing I how do you feel about I'm still trying to wrap my head around this question,
Well,
but how do you feel about the
I think
justice
we've got
system
some room for
in
improvement.
general?
I think the theories are good, and I think we've got a decent foundation, but there's always room for improvement, and we can be more fair than we currently are, and that needs to be improved.
Okay, that sounds really fair. Here's another one. Okay, I know we talked about the Constitution and Second Amendments and, all the good stuff. Do you want to just give a quick overview? Because the question is, how do you feel about the Constitution and our Second
Okay.
Amendment rights?
This is another issue where I can't give an opinion because something relevant to the Second Amendment very likely might come in front of me as a judge. And if I give a peremptory opinion, I am not able to hear the case when it appears in front of me. So, but what I would say is this:
Right.
I'm prepared to follow the Constitution and to follow all of our laws and regulations.
Awesome. I'm sorry. I know, like, I was thinking about, I'm like, should I ask, should I not? But, and it does make sense. And I just wanted to make it clear out to everybody else. Every case is different and every situation is different. And, just because we have the Second Amendment rights, of course, we're going to protect. But at the same time, if somebody takes it a little bit overboard with it and takes advantage of it, then that becomes a different case. That's a different situation. So every case is different, but, and as far as the Constitution goes, I love that answer. That was perfect. How do you feel about our president
I'm
today?
sorry, I didn't hear you.
Donald Trump. How do you feel about our president today, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think that my opinions about our president don't affect me as a judge, if you want me to be frank about it. I think that sitting as a judge, I'm going to be fair and impartial, and I'm going to follow the law. And my opinions about our president shouldn't really come into play.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. It doesn't matter. I don't think who the president is. You doing your job shouldn't affect it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did get that question, so I had to ask. Okay, let's see another one. Oh, well, how do you feel about this crazy coronavirus pandemic that's going on? And do you think that lives will get back to normal again? I don't know why they're asking,
Yeah,
but they just threw that one in there.
I think this has been really hard on a lot of people. And when I say people, I'm not just talking about us adults. I think it's also been hard on a lot of children. I think that we are going to get through this and get back to some kind of normal, but normal might change a little bit. And I don't know what kind of cases or issues are going to come in front of the courts as a result of this either. So there could be a litany of different kinds of issues that come up. But I think that
Right.
we have to be as sensitive as we can to each other right now, and we have to be careful with each other, and we have to understand that this is affecting a lot of us in different ways. You know, some people are a little more comfortable with isolation than others, and that goes for all ages. And sometimes we're going to have to be a little patient with each other throughout this process. Because just because you or I feel something about this process doesn't mean that my neighbor is going to feel the same way. And I think it's important that we listen to each
Right.
other and we actually hear each other throughout this process too, especially get back to normal activities.
Right. And take advice from, the experts out there. I think the problem is a lot when they're saying that a second wave is of this virus is going to hit in the winter of this year. I believe the reason for that is because a lot of people are not taking precautions and they're not following what they're supposed to in order to get rid of this virus right away. So, if you guys follow the rules, I think that I believe we can go back to normal, but it's gonna take some time. I think I have like one or two left. Okay, so here's another one. How well do you deal with under heavy pressure?
I think I perform best under pressure, but it's because as an attorney, you're dealing with pressure situations usually from day one. I've worked in offices that are nonstop sometimes, and my own office has been nonstop. Like I said earlier, people don't end up in a courtroom because something good happened most of the time. It's something tragic a lot of times and bad, and those are usually high pressure situations. So I think I deal very well in high pressure situations. I remain calm. Being a mother as well, you have some high pressure situations sometimes. But I know also the workloads in district court can be high, and every case is a priority. So you have to make time for them, and you've got to give it your attention.
Right. So there you go, you guys. Not only do we have a wife and a mother, but you do have a heart of a judge. And being equal and not taking things personally, you have to have a thick skin. And you to me, and I'm sure to a lot of others that are listening too, you do have all those. You know what I'm saying? So, also I wanted to ask if there's anything else you want the public to know. We did answer a lot of the important questions. I'm not going to ask the other ones because, again, I don't think they're relevant to what we're talking about right now. But you do well under pressure, and being in the public's eye is really important. And how you are, how you look, and all this other stuff. People criticize no matter what you do. No matter what you do, they'll criticize you. But your job, your career comes first. And besides being a mother, of course, but you know what I'm saying. The minute you step out of the house, you are a public figure. And I think you will do great sitting in the judge's chair. And, maybe once in a while I'll come and visit and pop in and say hi. But is there anything else you want the public to know about you? And and I see, hold on, I've seen you do like food drives where you because you post those a lot too on Facebook.
Well, I
And do
think
you
it's
want to
really
say a little bit
important we
about that
all
real
think
quick?
about giving back, and we all think about what we can do. For the people around us. Not just because it feels nice to do nice things for people, but because it really helps our community if more of us are willing to step up and donate some food. Even something as simple as buying someone a coffee, you can really make someone's day. I know I've been in line at Starbucks before and someone's paid for my coffee, and it turns your day around. When someone just does something nice for you. And I like to do that for other people as much as I can. But even more sure that your listeners know that they can contact me. I'd like to leave my phone number if that's okay, and talk just for a minute about my website and make sure people know that they can and should reach out to me with questions. I want to make sure they know I'm available. When you were a district judge and your salary is paid with tax dollars, therefore you should be available to to your constituents. You should be available to the people that are going to vote for you. So, if it's okay to leave my phone number, that's okay to leave my phone number on this.
Absolutely. You're actually jumping ahead of my question. That's going to be my next question. How can people get a hold of you, contact you, reach out to you? And, if they have more questions, they can ask you privately. And yeah, just basically give out all the information you want, and so that way people can get a hold of you and
I
contact you.
am very open to any questions about my background and experience, and I encourage people to please contact me to ask those. Your votes for a judge are so important, and it's easy to not realize how important they are until it's too late. So please take it very seriously. Voting not just in November when you can vote for me because I'm only on the November ballot and not on your primary, but also on your primary with your other judges on there. Please contact them and definitely contact me if you have any questions. My phone number is 702-659-2622, but you can also find me on Facebook, Anna Albertson for Judge, and my website, Albertson.com. That's Anna with two N's, A-N-N-A, Albertson spelled just like the grocery store. Dot com. So please contact me at any of those locations. And if you want to support me, go to my Facebook page, like it, encourage other people to like it, leave your information on my website. I'll add you to my mailing list. Keep you updated of events and going ons in my campaign, as well as invite you to things. So please make sure to go on my Facebook and like my Facebook page. And contact me with any questions. You can also always email me too, but sometimes phone or text is a very easy way to get in contact with me. So feel free to do that.
Absolutely. And I will be also sharing your post. If you guys get a message from me to inviting you to like a page, please go ahead and do so. A lot of you guys know who I am, Monica Spirit Queen, under Facebook and all social media. If any events or anything pops up, I'd be happy to share it with you guys through Anna's website or Facebook page. And you guys go out there in November and vote for her, Anna Albertson, or Anna. Am I pronouncing it
Anna's
wrong?
preferred, but I know a lot of
Anna,
people
Anna,
say
does it
Anna.
matter?
So either one is fine. Thank
Anna.
you.
Okay, I'll say Anna. Anna Albertson, go out, vote in November. Don't forget, district for Department 17, Clark County District Court Judge. All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining in, and I'll see you guys.